There's a thousand further women living out there. They're all living the devil may care. Well, I'm just a devil with a lot of despair. So viva Las Vegas! Viva!
Thank you, Wayne Newton, for that fabulous intro. You're listening to Cats with the Dish. This is John Katzlamitas. I write the Cats Report in the Las Vegas Sun, Las Vegas Weekly, LasVegasSun.com, LasVegasWeekly.com, and for all the publications in Greenspun Media Group. How you doing? Trisha McCrone.
I'm good, Catsy. What you doing? Sitting way over there. We're
thinking
not sitting next
you,
to
baby.
Each other right now. That's weird.
Thinking about you.
It's very weird. Oh, we've got binging coming from somewhere. But anyways, so let's talk about our Friday night.
Let's do.
We had a Cats with the Dish night.
It was a Cats with the Dish trip into Encore Theater to see Garth Brooks.
Yes.
Whom you had not seen.
You know what? I had not seen. And it's one of those things like Viva Elvis, let's just say that, where, you know, it's here and you think, oh, I can go see it anytime. You know, mm-hmm. It's kind of like there's an infinite amount of time that I can go see it. Like
right.
Garth Brooks, I'm like, oh, I've got to go see it. Everyone talks about how great it is. But then you just kind of think, I've got 5 years to see him.
It was originally thought to be a 5 year, which it was originally going to be no longer than 5 years. But this is the 3 year mark. They decided that Garth was going to leave, and they gave us not too long a notice.
Yeah, I know you. I mean, I found out from your a tweet when you tweeted your mm-hmm. column is how I found out that he was going with the 3 year deal.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And I was as surprised as anybody. And what it means is you better get to see Garth Brooks real quick, like, because he's got four more dates and 8 more shows up till November 17th.
Now, I have to say that I was, I had heard, oh, he just, you know, he comes out and he's just got a guitar and he's in a hoodie and a baseball mm-hmm. cap and jeans. And, you know, and I heard about it. And even though people said it was good, I was kind of like, oh, you know, I'm not a big country music person, as mm-hmm. we found out
Likewise.
When we covered the ACMs.
and me both.
Yeah, we were like, who is that person again? I know.
Is this a big deal?
Yeah, I'm like, I know Taylor Swift and Carrie
Swift
Underwood.
Taylor Swift, I must be big because I know I've heard of her.
Yeah, exactly. So everybody else were like, Jason Aldean? You know,
Dean.
Like, we're like, we were not exactly up on our.
I would have asked Jason Aldean where I was sitting.
Yeah, exactly. We had no clue.
Oh, better.
So you call me up and you said, let's go. Mm-hmm. And normally I may not have gone because I'd had kind of a long day and I was like, I would not have normally gone, but you're like, it just came up last minute. And I said, okay, I'm
mm-hmm.
in.
Right.
And I said that because of the fact I'm like, this will be the last chance I can get to see it. And we hadn't hung out for a little bit.
It probably will be the last chance.
Wanted to spend time with cats. So we go to the show and I was, I have to say, blown away. Mm-hmm. I can't explain it. And if you try to explain it, it doesn't come out as well, but it really is kind of almost like a one-man show.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just sitting there listening to country music. And by the time he gets to performing his songs, you are so like in love with him
mm-hmm.
and his personality and what he has done that you know, that and just listening to the crowd, everybody knows every one of his songs.
Exactly. And you know the songs that he's referring to leading up to his own songs.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said, I wrote this and it's honest to God's truth. When he described this show to all of us when he got to Las Vegas, I was ready to not like it a lot because I thought he was duping us.
Yeah.
I really thought he was trying to pull a fast one. And in a city that is known for top-notch entertainment of all varieties, I almost felt like it was insulting until I saw the show.
Yep.
And then I thought, wow, baby. And it was really cool. It was really cool that you got to see it as someone
and, you know,
who's seen a lot
I
of entertainment.
I became a big fan, and we don't have time for it, but afterwards we went and gambled with our last, a couple weeks ago's guest, Marilyn McCrone, my mom.
Yep.
And let's just say $100 was lost. Pinball, that's all I have to say.
Stay
but I also
want to
give a quick hello shout out that we have 2 East Coasters in our midst, in our audience, I guess you could say, which consists of the 2 of them, Sheila Sweeney and Jen Comer. Thank you for coming all the way from Boston
and New Hampshire.
And New Hampshire. So thank you for being here. I love
which
you guys.
Which are separate regions, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Boston is a city and New Hampshire is a state.
And coming up from Maine. We have a guest from Maine.
And again, one of our guests is from Maine, the other one from Virginia. They are the Las Vegas entrants in the contest show, The Amazing Race. And they're also in Chippendales at the Rio. James Vaughn and James Davis coming up next. But first, Josh Bell with movies. Stick around. I know we will.
Viva Las Vegas.
Hey, it's Holly Madison, and you are listening to Cats with the Dish.
Yeah!
You got six people hiding out in a town of what? 4 million people, all of whom chant death to America all the live long day. You want to set up a movie in a week. You want to lie to Hollywood, a town where everybody lies for a living. Then you're going to sneak 007 over here into a country that wants CIA blood on their breakfast cereal, and you're going to walk the Brady Bunch out of the most watched city in the world.
Asked about 100 militia at the airport. That's right.
That's Alan Arkin as a Hollywood producer and Ben Affleck as a CIA agent in Affleck's terrific new political thriller, Argo. I'm Josh Bell, film critic for Las Vegas Weekly, with a look at what's new in theaters this week. Argo follows the efforts of American CIA agent Tony Mendez, played by Affleck, to extricate six Americans from Iran following the 1979 embassy takeover there by concocting a fake film production as cover. Argo does a great job of generating suspense out of a true story whose outcome is widely known, while making room for small character moments as well as illustrations of the political climate of the time. I give Argo 4 stars out of 5. Also opening this week is the comedy Here Comes the Boom, starring Kevin James as a high school science teacher who takes up mixed martial arts to raise money for his troubled school.
Hey, why would you pass on the UFC?
You're not ready for a fight like this.
You realize we're 6 grand away and the semester's almost over?
It's too dangerous.
Yeah, but this could be one and done.
Hey, the UFC's the real deal, all right? It's big time.
Here Comes the Boom finds James mixing his typical fat guy fall down humor with plenty of schmaltz. It's mild and predictable, but also completely inert, with nothing in the way of dramatic tension or lively humor. The performances are weak and the plotting is lazy. I give Here Comes the Boom 2 stars out of 5. That's a look at what's new in theaters this week. Check out my reviews in Las Vegas Weekly and online at joshbellhateseverything.com.
Well, I'm just a devil with a lot of despair, so viva Las Vegas! Viva!
Welcome back! Sitting with us now are two contestants in the CBS contest show, The Amazing Race. And when you look at them, you say, Amazing Race? Maybe to the personal trainer. They are the guys who make guys like me look bad. And they are also performers in Chippendales at the Rio stage nightly at 8. Welcome to Cats with a Dish, James Vaughn and James Davis.
Hey, what's up, y'all?
Hey,
how's it going? Excited to be here.
Awesome. Thank you.
Cool. I have fun with these guys, but they're in incredible condition.
Yeah, they are. And I have to say are they both extremely handsome, as you all are seeing on The Amazing Race, but really nice guys.
They're very nice guys.
And, you know, and James Vaughn knows this, that... you know, he is my Vegas crush, I have to say. I say it all the time.
He is my
Vegas crush. He's a friend of mine, so I'm not, you know, it's not, and he's a dear friend of mine, but, you know, he is my, like, not-so-secret crush.
Wait, I want to go back to when you said you see them look good on Amazing Race.
What are you talking about?
Our whole thing,
we were a hot mess.
Amazing
unshaven,
like,
unkept mountain men running around.
It was, like, liberating to, like, go on
the
TV.
Amazing Race
like
to the trainer.
Garbage.
No, you guys aren't understanding that it's impossible for you two to look bad. It is. It really is.
Tune in to Amazing Race.
Sundays at 8 p.m. on CBS.
Okay, I'm going to start right here because I am, not everybody knows, but I'm kind of the TV person of this duo. Especially reality TV is my thing. And I've watched every season of Amazing Race. And
she owns a TV.
We were even talking about the fact that, I mean, one time they finished the race at Wayne's Ranch, where I live, at Wayne Newton's Ranch. So I met all the Bertram and all the people. And I was talking to James earlier about how they literally on The Amazing Race have the power that when I said, well, it gets kind of noisy if the wind's going a certain way with the planes, and literally Elise, I think her name is, said, well, mm-hmm. we can just talk to air traffic control. We'll take care of that. Like, this is the kind of power that you were working with on The Amazing Race.
Yeah, it's amazing. They have the power to do that stuff. I mean, I think the first time that we realized, like, how big of an actual shoot this thing was, like, in addition to the fact that it's a show and we saw the level of production on it, we were amazed. And what's amazing about it is that they have this huge, amazing, gigantic Emmy Award-winning show. Mm-hmm. And you talk about Elise, you talk about Bertram. They're the nicest mm-hmm. people you will ever
for meet. Real you just will. Down to earth, awesome, great people to talk to.
It's like
always
kicking it with
yeah,
your family,
exactly, like, Uncle Bertram.
Yeah, we call Uncle him Bert. Uncle Bert. I mean, literally, they're amazing people. Like, I can't wait to, like, you know, go to Uncle Bert's next birthday party or something.
yeah,
they're really good people. That's the thing. Yeah. So,
how was it, you guys? How did Chippendales become involved in this in general, and how from the group? did you two?
Well, the power of Facebook. I guess we could.
I would attribute it to the power of Facebook. He was accosted on Facebook.
Accosted. That's a good word. No, you normally get like. First of all, Trisha just pulled out the camera.
We thought it was junk mail at first.
Now. That's all right. All
right. So you get like you get interesting messages on Facebook from people from time to time. You know, from doing Chippendales. You know, like,
I'll bet Chippendales get a lot of interesting Facebook messages. The messages in general.
And unfortunately, not so occasional. Actually, the more frequent. Can I have your underwear? Underwear that you've worn. Excuse me.
But James, like, you sent them to me when I asked. No, I'm kidding.
You should ask me on Facebook.
We all know.
You just sent me a tweet. I respond to tweets about underwear.
We all know it's just Kat. We all know the underwear requests are just from Kat. We all know.
Yeah, Kat, Kat's doing all those underwear requests.
I thought it was you initially.
This is regifting because I give them the dish.
Okay, well, there you go. So anyway,
we share everything.
There you go. So
she's wearing them now.
Now I'm just disoriented with this story and confused because all I can picture is you with our underwear.
Facebook. It all started with Facebook.
So it started on Facebook. They asked us, long story short, I didn't think the dude was legit. He's like, oh, you want to be on this Emmy award-winning television show, which usually means I have a Polaroid camera and I'm going to meet you in this back alley and get a couple photos of you. So
yes.
This is not going to turn out good. So I was like, you know what? You just call me from CBS.
I'm going to call
you. And
when
I get a legit call from CBS and I can call it back and actually get to you, then I know you're real. Well, it turns out he was real. So I look like a fool, foot in my mouth. And he was like, you know, we're interested in having you come on The Amazing Race. We think it'd be really cool if, you know, you had like a best friend or something you could come on with. And I was like, well, my best friend is in Chippendales with me. And they were like, we would love to have Chippendales. We would love to have best friends. Blah, 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 blah. Long story short, they gave me the whole spiel. I called James up. I'm like, hey, you want to do Amazing Race? He's like,
I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
It literally was that simple.
Really?
Glad you raced.
So
like,
this is kind of in your end, sure. James Vaughn. You could have called anybody in there.
Well,
in the
you know, it
there
was
only one person to call.
You could have called
it was
anybody.
Me.
Yeah. There you go.
Like, my thing is, if you're going to do Amazing Race, you don't want to fight with somebody.
You want to have fun.
You have a good time with it. Right. We toured the world together with Chippendales.
Yeah.
We started Chippendales together as a dare.
At the same time, we got hired at the same time, and we knew we were going to have a good time doing this race no matter what. We're like, win or lose, we're going to have a blast together because we've kind of been through the rigmarole before.
Yeah, you watch people go on the show and they just fight their way around the world.
Yeah, it just looks awful. It looks like an awful time.
These amazing destinations. And be like, hey, remember that time we went to Italy and fought?
Remember we fought on the Great Wall of China? Remember that fight?
Like,
you almost threw me off. Oh, that was a great time.
Do that?
That
so
was
we were
awesome.
Like, I'm going with somebody I'm going to have a good time with regardless.
And you know, and so basically for those maybe 1% that don't watch The Amazing Race in the world, you have teams and it was, what, 11 teams?
So, 11 teams.
11 teams start off. You start out at the beginning of the race. You have to go through different challenges. You have to fly all over the world, literally, and you have to check in at checkpoints and at this pit stop, or what do they call them?
It's called pit stop.
Pit stop.
Yes, a pit stop. Yeah.
At the pit stop, then for that episode, you check in and you get a few hours before then you start the next day. And at the last team to arrive to that pit stop, well, Phil is very fond of saying, may be eliminated.
Except for that first episode when he says you will be eliminated.
Yeah, exactly.
And we run around looking for this daggone abacus lady.
Well, yeah, here's the thing. So let me just go through the first episode.
Abacus lady.
You guys start and you have to rappel off a bridge and you go and you check in to get the first clue. You guys are in first place.
That's right. Look at that. We're in first place. We're feeling
good.
That's
right.
Like, I'm thinking these guys are unstoppable right from the beginning. Then you guys get on a plane. You have to go to the airport. You get on a plane and you land in Shanghai, right?
Correct.
You land in Shanghai and then you have to go and you have to, James Davis, you have to play ping pong against one of the best ping pong players in the world. And as James Vaughn then says, come on, James, all you got to do is beat this 10-year-old.
It was a junior champion, I'll have you know.
Did you know he's a junior champion?
Yeah, they all were junior ping pong.
You knew this going in?
Yes. They said it when we got there. And I knew I was in trouble as soon as I started seeing those serves. They were fast. I mean, they were coming at you fast.
But she wasn't even playing you with a normal ping pong paddle.
No. See, I was reduced to the clipboard.
She was playing you with a clipboard.
I was taken to school that day. Several times.
Served.
I was served both literally and figuratively, figuratively that day. Oh my gosh.
And then once you get past that, but the best is he's laughing at you the whole time. Like, this is he's
we're going to have a good time.
Yeah,
he's heckling me. I'm pouring sweat.
Oh yeah, don't let this little 10-year-old girl get to you. Like,
and she's using the paper side of the clipboard. There's pages of paper.
I know,
she's not even using the flat side. She's like, this guy. She's like looking at me like this guy.
But you actually.
I got 1 point. I scored 1 point on it.
That's all you had to do.
That's all you had to do.
Oh.
Yeah,
as it sounds.
No.
I would. Like, believe it or not, you were one of the first to finish.
I was third.
Yeah, you were one of the first to finish.
So I did all right.
So then we go on to the next place, and Vaughn, James Vaughn, yeah, then has to eat
turn,
frog fallopian tubes. Mm, let's see what delicious. That was like.
We can't really disclose too many details, probably just because your listeners don't want to hear exactly what it was like. But as you saw,
it was like
there,
Chef Boyardee.
I was like, ooh, it was like warm jello. But it's one of those things, when $1 million on the line, at that point, $2 million is on the line, yeah. You do what you got to do.
Yeah, you'll says, eat, you, eat that you just fallopian eat tubes, yeah.
Like, you can't even, like, think about, all right, what is this, what am I eating? Just get it down, get it done, and that's what we had to do.
So now we move on to, you have completed that task in pretty much record time. You guys are in a really good position, and the next clue is...
He owned it.
Your next clue is...
You find the woman using an abacus.
Yes.
Using an abacus.
Well, there you go.
Using.
There you go.
Like, using. Really using it.
Like, I mean, using it. For something.
To
count something.
Count money.
You know,
we know what an abacus is. We knew what an abacus was.
Yes.
Abaci is actually even plural for abacus. I can tell you all about that. Only yeah. problem we couldn't thing is like we couldn't tell you who the lady with the abacus was.
We couldn't
no
find
idea.
Her. It was
a giant plaza in the middle of Shanghai, and it was a very, very big, like open, huge plaza on the water.
It was a 2.5 mile stretch along the water.
I apparently was looking for an exceptionally large abacus with a woman just blatantly using it. Yeah.
She had it.
The beads too.
She had it huddled in her lap like an iPad. I was like, "What?"
She did.
Yeah,
she did. It was, very small. And you're expecting like lobe size.
And
then,
like brought
abacai.
Her son to work that day or something too. I was just thrown off.
It was
for a singular
so confusing.
Lady with an abacus. And you know, it was just one of those things.
The call of the abacus.
Thank God. Yes. We found her last.
I know you guys were there. I think second or third. You were there second or third. I mean, people that were on different flights than you found this woman.
Let's not talk about that. Can we not get into that detail?
No. Let's omit that.
Starting to panic because I love you guys.
I'm starting to panic. Imagine
watching,
what we felt like.
Come on. But watching it, I'm like, oh my gosh, they can't. And I knew you guys were going to be at it in the stick show. I'm like, oh, they can't be eliminated on the first leg. This is terrible. So then you guys are second to last.
Yeah, second to last, still in
it's
it.
Still in it.
Still in the game, baby.
So now you have to start leg two, which just aired last Sunday. You have to start leg two.
In the rear with
and
the gear.
Yeah, so now all of a sudden you guys hit the airport and you're going to fly to Indonesia. But guess what? It's now an even playing field.
Mm-hmm. That's all we needed. That's all we needed. And you know what? And no more daggone abacus.
There you go.
That was it. I was like, no matter what happens, we don't have to look for that abacus ever again, James.
I was
we
like,
don't have to
lady,
do that ever
you
again.
You guys are going
to
get abacus.
Abacai sent to us in the mail. Multiple
I'll
people
bet.
Have sent us abacus. So like, we now have... You know, we actually have a legitimate abacus from Shanghai that our Chinese family, we have a Chinese family.
Yes.
They sent it to us. They we used to model for them forever ago, and they own this big costume company, and they did literally call themselves our Chinese family. We were disappointing them severely out there. They sent us a little card with an actual abacus
that's
from
so
Shanghai.
Cute.
To say, congratulations on not getting eliminated.
Oh, that's okay. And so then you guys land, and then all of a sudden you have to jump into the next channel, which is riding motorcycles next to these people hanging on to bulls. It was crazy.
Mopeds.
And these bulls are crazy fast. I mean, you saw
they were kicking the mopeds'
butts. I mean,
the
mopeds did not stand a chance.
You don't know where the bull was going to show up.
Yeah. I mean, it could have literally run you over.
Yeah,
it wasn't
you
a
don't
lot
know.
Of control
it's, it looked on TV probably not as scary as it was in person. These bulls could have just bowled you over right there.
And but what for me
on.
Was the funniest.
But what about the rest of your body? That's
exactly.
Okay.
You guys make your living not just with your faces. So I'm sure that Michael Caprio back in Vegas is like, just don't let the bull hurt the boys. So so now the next thing is you actually have to go. And you have to do, which was my favorite part of the whole episode of episode two, was James Vaughn having to, it said, who likes to party?
Mm-hmm. And now in a normal situation, James
normally,
Davis likes to
I
party.
Was like, you know, this guy right here is a party guy. But we knew it
pointing
being Amazing Race, it probably wouldn't be the kind of partying that
I was
accustomed
balloons.
To.
Like, if there's balloons, it's got to be kids. I love kids. I'm a big, big kid person. Like, I see kids, I forgot I was on a race. I was just playing with the kids.
But you were very funny and when you were talking about it, that how you showed up.
Oh yeah, well we were 2 6-foot-4 gentlemen.
I don't think they ever seen
country.
A couple round eyes like that.
6'4"
show up.
And
James with his big blue eyes and his blonde hair.
And I'm like so excited to see kids because like it's just like a nice like break from the race to just like hang out with these children, you know? And we were probably too excited to see them. And
they're
running up and they're like,
they were like cowering in fear a little bit.
And the mamas are pushing them towards us and the kids are pulling back. They don't want to go. This is the back and forth. And then I got them on this Odong pedaling it to, you know, get them thing going, so the kids are moving on the ride, and I got to make them their balloons. And these poor kids, I mean, I'm a little too big for this machine, so we had to remaneuver it a little
bit. It was made
for
someone 5'0".
Exactly, yeah.
it's kind of crazy. It's tilting to the side. It's almost falling over. It's all of a sudden become an extreme thrill ride when it's supposed to be like
the children are fleeing for their
lives. And, you know, it's...
And you had to make balloon animals, animals for the kids.
Yep, we did. And turns out I could get a job at children's birthday parties after this, because I was...
There you go.
You could be the clown that they hire.
It's always nice to have a backup plan.
We have a always good.
But what I have to say is, you guys, and you've said it, that you're there to have a good time, and you guys wanted to...
Exactly.
What I thought was so interesting, and someone in the first episode made, we got to get the Chippendales. Like, somebody, a team said, like, basically that they were out for you guys.
Oh, they did?
Whereas when somebody else...
How profound.
When someone else finished the balloon animals, I actually have to look at my phone here because I actually wrote it down. James looked at them and you were like, congratulations, good luck. Like, people, a team that finished before James making the balloon animals, as you're making the animal, as they walked by you, you said, congratulations, guys, good luck. Like, it just, you guys were just, it was such a great representation.
It comes down to, like, sportsmanship.
Exactly.
Honestly, it's a game, and yes, you want to win. Everybody wants to win that million or 2 million. Everybody wants to win it, but honestly, you can't sacrifice your values or your sportsmanship, because
we said before we went, we're not going to be anybody but ourselves.
And that's it. Be yourself.
We don't know what reality television is like. We didn't know before we got there what good people, you know, Bertram and Elise and everybody was. We didn't realize that they really were just making a true, honest show, because you see reality all the time get skewed. It's got 9 Emmys. You can pretty much know it's going to not be skewing reality. Yeah. But just to be safe, we said, let's be ourselves the whole time. You know, because why would we want to go play this game and be anything but ourselves?
Yeah.
That's us. Like, you know, somebody else does well. Why are you going to tell them you want them to not do well?
It's not.
Everybody's like that. And I know you guys can't comment on it because I know you guys are under serious confidentiality agreements. So you can't really talk about behind the scenes things. But, I mean, as a viewer and a fan of the show, the first episode, I was so disgusted by the couple. There was a woman on the show whose name I can't remember, who was a double amputee.
Mm-hmm.
And she had
Amy Purdy.
So basically from the knees down, she was an amputee, and she was in first place. And on this race, if you get first place and you and
first
the first
leg,
and then you win the race, you get $2 million instead of one. So it was a big position to who would win the first leg. This girl and her boyfriend or whoever it was, that they were in first place, and they very nicely, they found the abacus woman. I hate to bring her up again. They found her first. And all of a sudden, they told this other team, this couple, they told them, they said, well, where is it? And they told them where the abacus lady was, which, you know. And so what happened then, the woman, the amputee, is running to the pit stop for $2 million possibly. And this other team that they helped out pass her up, because obviously running, she's not as fast. And they pass her by and take the map before her. Now, I'm sorry, that karma is going to come back to get those people. I know you can't say anything, but it was wrong. It was disgusting. And I would rather lose $1 million than to humiliate and to look like I'm the type of person who basically is going to push a woman who's a double amputee away. And it was terrible. And then these same two ugly, evil people who I just cannot stand then go on and say... When you then brings us to where I am now in the show, you guys have this challenge. Is it a roadblock, Wizard, where you get to make two choices?
Yeah, you're looking at a detour.
A detour. So it basically says the two of you have to complete a task. You either had to do something with hauling ice, or you had to do something with disgusting with fish. You guys chose to haul ice. You go.
We hauled ice.
No, I'm talking. It was 65
pounds, 10 of them.
65 pounds, 10 of them. And you had to lift these blocks, put them on a truck, then put them on like a little carriage and carry them. So all of a sudden, you guys are there in this evil, just bitter, morally corrupt people.
These are just all your words. I'm just saying.
And that's why I disclaimed it. That's why I disclaimed it, that I know you guys aren't even reacting. You're saying nothing. But in my opinion, as a viewer,
I wouldn't say they're not reacting.
This is what I'm getting. Shush. Is that they go to you. They go, looky who we have here. And you guys are very nice to them, as you always are. And just the way that that woman said, the way that she addressed you was so just mean and foul that I'm going to say I hope they go next. I know you can't tell me, but I hope that they go next. And you guys did this. You then end up in third place. You are in third place where we go into this Sunday.
Yes, exactly. We finished in third place.
In front of these awful people, I will say. And so so now we see that you guys are going. They've actually told us where you're going next. I know you can't discuss what happens, but where is your next destination?
Have you seen the preview?
Yes.
I actually put it up on YouTube, and I actually do address the issue.
Oh, you do?
People being 6'4" in Indonesia.
There you go.
Oh, now we are not quite made for things there.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, so it's another leg in Indonesia. So you
But now, talk about the fish market, because you were, I mean, when I say you hauled ice, it wasn't like you're like in downtown Vegas where, you know, things are in, on the strip. This is a very, very, not a, I don't want to put down Indonesia at all, but let's just say it wasn't an environment that looked very clean and smelling great.
Here's the deal. We've always said with touring and stuff in the world, it's great to put yourself in a situation where you're the minority, where you don't fit in, where you don't know your way around, where you don't speak the language, because it makes you appreciate things so much more. Now, when you go into a situation like Indonesia, where you realize that even on your worst day back home, you are so incredibly privileged to have what you have, it just takes that and ups the ante even more. I mean, these people, some of them just have so little. I mean, some of them are on the sides of the road.
Literally,
crates that they've made huts out of, living with their livestock in their little hut. Like, literally, and when I say a hut, y'all, I mean like the 2x3, like just tiny, itty bitty little thing where they just have to go out to the water to even use the restroom. And it really, really, really makes you appreciate everything. And what's so amazing is the spirit of these people.
I mean, happiest people like I think I've seen. Honestly, like
just
genuinely. You guys not a complaint everywhere too.
Not a complaint. Yeah, genuinely happy.
That's incredible.
Cheering you on, like wow,
beautiful. Yeah. I mean, you look at what they had, the little bit that they have, and that they're people want to help you so much too.
Yeah.
It's amazing how
they do anything to help you out. Complete strangers.
We're pushing the ice thing. Yeah. You know, getting our ice there. And you could see a local coming and trying to help us.
Yeah. No kidding. Complete strangers.
We can't have help. It's part of the game, but thank you so much. Yeah. And it's like that the whole time. You're actually fighting people off from helping you because they're literally that giving and that wanting to be involved and that wanting to help you.
You even tried to speak the language a little bit. You spoke to someone in the language a little bit, which was nice, because what I think is unfortunate about some of the teams, and I'm not saying anything about this season, but in past seasons, is sometimes that some of the teams, they kind of are ugly Americans in a little bit, because they maybe there's a language barrier and they start to kind of like scream at the, and I understand it's a race, and they start to scream at the cab drivers and berate people, and it's kind of like, oh, it just makes us
just look because you scream English at someone who doesn't speak English,
just because you change the volume, just because you change the volume of what you say doesn't make it any more clear to someone who speaks English.
You're in someone else's country.
Exactly.
It's like if somebody came here to America and
started yelling at you, can you imagine?
Yeah, yelling at you, man. And it's, you know, French or something, and you don't speak French. Like, what are you going to do? You're not going to understand about it just because they're yelling. And I think people forget that. And I think lucky for us, I mean, we also, because we've traveled so much with Chippendales, like we've seen, you know, these situations before, we don't speak the language and having to figure stuff out. And so we did try to learn, you know, phrases and things that would help us out.
Yeah.
Because it's just respectful.
Yeah.
Even if you're making an attempt to speak it, that's so much more appreciated than just like yelling and being obnoxious. And man, get creative, play Pictionary, you know, do whatever you gotta do to get your point across.
You're in the United States and someone is trying to ask you directions how to get somewhere, especially in Vegas, we get it. And they barely speak the language, or, you know, something happens and you really can't communicate with someone because of that language barrier. Like, stop and think about that. Put yourself in their shoes.
Exactly.
Put yourself, you're in their country. You can't find your way around. You need that help. And I think it would make so many Americans act different towards quote unquote foreigners if they put themselves in that situation.
Yeah. Well, you guys were a very incredible representation for, you know, for the city and for Chippendales.
Well, thank
definitely
you.
On
thank,
the show.
Thank you for,
and the show is still going very well. The stage show itself at the Rio.
Yes,
still going strong.
It's going great. We're there seven nights a week.
I know. Just pick a day and come by.
I know.
Whatever you want.
It's better than 10 years on now. You guys just, I want to say, you released your calendar now.
2013, there it is.
Oh, yeah.
I'll test you. What month are you, James Davis?
March.
Right.
Yes.
James Vaughn, what month?
October?
I will
is that right?
Oh, allow me to look.
Here's a question mark at the end of that.
Allow me to look. James is August.
There you go.
He's all of August.
Yeah, look, and I'm holding an abacus in the photo.
Okay. Yeah,
that's where dreams come true. Thanks for coming down here, guys.
Yeah, you're right. Hey, y'all, thanks for having us.
Thank you, Kat.
Woo!